300,000, that's the number of people who have fled Rafah. Over a million of those people moved from other parts of Gaza to escape war. And now those very same people have no choice but to move again because Israel is expanding its military operations to flush out Hamas. Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland, Peter Power, is with us now. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Cian.
That figure, 300,000, well, it's not just a figure. It's 300,000 people reportedly moving, fleeing Rafah. What's the consequence of that?
Devastation, catastrophe. We're deeply concerned now about what is happening in Rafah. UNICEF and our fellow UN agencies have been warning for weeks now that an attack on Rafah, which began last Friday, would be devastating for the people, both in Rafah and for the people who fled, for three reasons, basically. Firstly, the density of people in Rafah is just unimaginable. Rafah city is about the 10th the size of County Dublin and has been housing 1.2 million people in terrible conditions for the last number of months. Secondly, the so-called safe areas that people have received evacuation orders to go to is a place called Al-Mawazi. That is not a safe place. That's agreed by all the international agencies there. And the conditions there are simply not sustainable for people being forced to move there.
Well, talking to people on the ground, many say that they're now pitching tents in areas with no running water, no sanitation, no clear access to food. What are you hearing from UNICEF people on the ground?
Well, our people on the ground are saying that the biggest issue now is the fact that since Israel took over the Rafah crossing, they were already in control of the Kerem Shalom crossing. Both of those crossings provided the vast majority of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza, and particularly into southern Gaza. That's effectively stopped now for 5 days. The worst part of it, amongst many different concerns, is the fact that fuel is not available now in southern Africa, in south Gaza, but rather and that fuels the trucks that deliver humanitarian aid. It fuels the desalination plants, the water pumping stations, the water wells, the hospitals, the generators and so forth. And that is what is leading to this catastrophe now.
But we do hear this morning that more aid trucks have crossed into northern Gaza, according to the Israeli military.
Yes, through the Erez crossing. And I crossed through that crossing just before the war began. And what I can say is that crossing simply does not have the capacity to provide the level and scale of humanitarian assistance that is required in Gaza at the moment. And furthermore, moreover, the difficulty of transporting aid from north to south is well known because of the sheer devastation of the infrastructure. And as I said, the vast majority of aid is coming in through Rafah and Kerem Shalom.
You've mentioned the word devastation starting this interview. You mentioned it again, but looking at Rafah, explain that initial devastation and what it looks like at this point in time.
Well, you know, as I said, I was there just before the war began, and Gaza was in pretty bad shape then. It has been relentlessly attacked now. Schools, hospitals, civilian facilities, apartment blocks, and some of our people on the ground are saying, these are battle-hardened humanitarian workers, are saying they've never seen the sort of conditions that people have been forced to live in now, and now that they've been forced to move again to an area that's utterly unsuitable.
Tell us about the children. 17,000, according to your figures, are unaccompanied children. Where do you get these figures?
Well, these are the figures that are released by the Ministry of Health by Hamas, which is controlled by Hamas. And obviously those figures have been contested. But is it 17,000? Is it 15,000? Is it 10,000? Are there another 5,000 underneath the rubble? The fact is, many, many thousands of innocent children have lost their lives and have lost limbs and have been psychologically damaged, which they may never recover from.
Finally and briefly, Peter Power, a ceasefire. Is it achievable?
More than anything else, the people of Rafah now need a ceasefire. The Secretary General of the United Nations called for one yesterday. The head of the United Nations Human Rights Watch, Volker Turk, said yesterday that this attack on Rafah now is inconsistent with humanitarian international law and must be stopped now.
Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland, Peter Power, thanks for coming in to us this morning.